Bible class today, and praise the Lord for air conditioning. Amen. Psalms chapter 90 in your Bible, please. Psalms chapter 90. And we're going to be looking at lesson 8, and this is an interesting portion of Scripture when we look at the idea of the fact that life is short. The older you get, the longer you've been around, but the more you realize life is short. Amen? And, you know, when I was a kid, I remember summer holidays. And we had 2 months of summer holidays, and they seemed to last forever. And you come back, I remember you come back in school, and you walk down the hall, and it was like, wow, you know, it's been so long, I don't remember what it looks like. And you see friends that you hadn't seen all summer, and it just seemed like an eternity for those 2 months. And but, you know, 2 months now just seems to go by like nothing. Amen. In fact, this year, spring, 2 months of spring went by so fast, I don't even remember it. Amen. And we got to realize, and I think one of the most important things for us to realize as Christians is that we are here for a very, very, very short period of time. You know, you think, again, when I was younger, I would think about, you know, how old people live, you know. 60, 70, 80 years old. My grandma lived to 84, and you think that's really old, and then you think as well, like, how really long ago it was when Jesus walked the earth, or when this person lived. Oh, it was like 250 years ago. I remember reading a book about the Franklin Expedition, which took place in the late 1800s up in the Arctic, and trying to find that Northwest Passage, and you know, again, to me, it seemed like an eternity. These people lived so long ago, you know, 1864. It was like, you know, but when you get to be, you know, 80 years old, hey, you know, that's not a long time ago. That's just, you know, there's, you know, when I was born, there was probably people who were still alive when the Franklin Expedition took place. And I man. That's old. There's people still alive, you know, that were around, you know, not maybe not now, but they're, you know, when we think about the Titanic, you know, you think that was such a long time ago. And yet, when, you know, I was born, there were lots of people around that were still alive who were on the Titanic. And so life is so quick. The Bible uses a lot of different analogies to talk about the brevity of our life and how short it is. It calls our life a vapor. It's just like a little vapor. And, you know, you blow smoke and what happens to it? What happens to it? It dissipates. It's gone like that. And we're just here for a little bitty short time. What is man? When you think about it, our little bit of time here on earth. And you think about that little bit of time we have on earth compared to our time in eternity as well. And here's the funny thing. This little bit of time, 70 or 80 years that we have here on earth, will determine what our eternity is going to be like. All of eternity. So these are interesting thoughts. One of the very first verses that I memorized in the Bible was Psalms chapter 90 and verse 12. And I was 31 years old when I was saved, and I remember even at 31 realizing the importance of Psalms chapter 90 and verse 12. And so let's get into our lesson here. Last week we looked at finding contentment in God. And this week, again, we're going to be looking at life is short, use it wisely. How many people did their memory verse or have memorized Psalms chapter 90 and verse 12? Would anybody like to give it a try? Pretty good, easy verse to... Okay, anyone want to give it a try? Becky? Oh, okay, Ziggy. All right, well... Let's say it together. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And the very first part of this verse, so teach us to number our days. Does anybody know how many days we have? No, we don't. So when the Bible says here that we are to number our days, it doesn't mean that we are to, it's like when somebody's going to get married. There's a bunch of different people that have a lot of different ideas. The bride, she's got it down to the day and the hour. It's like 422 days, 3 hours, 27 minutes, and 8 seconds. And the guy's thinking, I can only go fishing for another, year and a half. And then the dad's thinking, oh, man, I've only got money in the bank for another year. Everyone has different ideas of time, right? And when it talks about this idea of numbering our days, I think it's really talking about making sure that we understand that today is a number. This day that we are in is a number. It's one of our days, and we are to use it wisely. One thing we can't do, and sometimes we wish we could, and there's been a lot of people spending a lot of time trying to figure out if it's possible to go back in time or to stop time. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just stop time? Amen. Just grab that clock and stop it. Hang on, you're not going any further. And when we're younger, we think we've got all the time in the world. We think, I don't have to worry about my days. I can sleep in all day, or I can do this, and I can just have a lazy day. And by the way, I don't want to have a lazy day once in a while. I think it's kind of healthy just to have a day, a lazy day. But all that said, when that day is gone, we number it. It's gone. It's in the bank, and it can't be withdrawn. It can't be changed. And there's nothing we can do about yesterday. It's a day that's been numbered. It's a day that's gone. There's nothing we can do about the day before. It's a day that's been numbered, and it's gone. These young guys, yeah, Dad, I want to grow a beard. I want to have a beard. It makes me look 10 years older. And I says, man, I want to look 10 years younger. Amen. And the guys, are young guys, are all wanting to look old, and the old guys are all wanting to look young, and all the ladies still look young. Amen. I just got some brownie points. But we all, time is so important to us, yet we waste our days. We waste our days. We're talking about, and it kind of worked out, some of the conversation here before the service started, about how much money he had, or how much he was worth, $700? Or how much $750 was when he was a kid, and how much it is today. And you could buy, I watch Andy Griffith, I love Andy Griffith, 1963, 64, and they wanted to move, and Barney got to be a real estate agent, and they're talking, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 to buy a house. Wouldn't it be nice if you go to Toronto and buy a house for $3,000? Amen? Or anywhere? And I remember my dad buying our first car that I remember. It was $600. It was a Ford Custom. And you think back, we were at the Connors on the other night there, and all the grandkids running around having a barbecue. And I sit there and I shake my head, and it seems like yesterday we were there. It was us that was, we had the little toddlers running around, and, I was the one changing diapers and picking up diapers at the store and doing this and getting formula and whatever. It was yesterday. Who knows exactly what I'm talking about, right? Where did the time go? Where did my life go? Where have those days gone? And you think back, there's maybe not so many people here remember some of these events, the Titanic and the production. Remember the Henry Ford did not invent the automobile, but he invented the assembly line. He was the first one to take the concept of an automobile and sell it. We're talking to or mass produce it. My Diane's grandmother, 99 years old, And, you know, we're talking, you know, again about how we remember, you know, when we were kids. You know, I remember when I was a kid, cell phones were in a briefcase and you had to be a millionaire to have one, and they hardly worked unless you were somewhere in the city. And then when I was younger, a young man, they were these great big things the size of a big loaf of bread that you held up to your face. And everyone knew when you're driving down the road, you're talking on a cell phone, either that or you had a growth coming out of your... They were massive things. You couldn't put them in your pocket. And you know, things change. They just change so fast. And there's probably people alive that remember some of these things, the Great War. And then, you know, a little later on, other things, Babe Ruth and the beginning of the Second World War and the Depression and all kinds of things that took place about a little less than 100 years ago. And I wanted to get this one up here. There's our Prime Minister's father. I'm sorry, if you look at him, I'm not going to get into it. Let's just continue on. And then who can forget, we're probably, most of us were alive, and we'll remember these people. And we're glad they're not around anymore. Well, at least they are. They're our Prime Minister now. So, and who remembers the Rubik's Cube coming out? You know, it's nostalgia and, you know, all of these different things. But life is short. And it just seems like the days and the hours and the minutes grow wings and they fly away. And I like this verse here. Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Now, one of the things that we have got, if the Lord tarries his coming, we think back to Franklin, the Franklin expedition, and we think back to Fidel Castro, and we think back to Babe Ruth and the founding of Canada, and go back, you know, to King Henry VIII, and think about all these things in history. One day, we're going to be the ones in the ground, and one day people are going to think back to, do you remember the 21st century? Do you remember the 21st century when they had those funny things called cell phones? Weird, you know, primitive devices, you know, and you know, the electricity. I've met people who, and I'm pretty sure John McClane, they didn't have electricity for a long time. I know on the road we lived on in Norris, they didn't have electricity on that road till the 1940s. So where is time? Where does it go? We have got, I believe, to more than anything in our lives, in that span of life that we have to understand how short it is. How that little period of time that we're here on earth, we've got to use it wisely. We can't think, you know, hey, I'll do it another day, I'll do it another time, or, you know, I'll put it off. Whatever it may be, we've got to take full advantage of our service for God. We've got to take full advantage, you know, of our life today. There's a lot of nostalgia. And one day we will be nostalgia. One day we're going to be the fossils. One day we're going to be the ones in the history books. And that time is going to come pretty quickly. You know, when we think about Moses, when he wrote Psalms chapter 90, it was when Israel had sinned against the Lord in Kadesh Barnea. And when I was preaching yesterday at the ball game, I talked about this incident and how many times the Bible calls them rebels, and how many times, you know, that the Bible talks about the fact that they murmur against God. And this little portion of Scripture, it talks more than 20 times about Israel murmuring and complaining in less than 20 verses and being rebellious. And so these spies went into the land. They saw the land. They saw the wonderful fruit. They saw all of these things. And they came back and they also saw something else there. They saw giants. They saw these giants. And when they got back to report to the people, you know, there was really only one thing they saw. They brought the grapes, and they brought this, they brought that, talked about the size of the fruit, all of these things, but the only thing they saw was the giants. They didn't see God. They didn't see God's power to defeat them. They just said, we are unable to. Now, let me ask you this question. Were they lying? No, they weren't. They weren't able to overcome them. But God was. And so this is the setting here. And then for the next 40 years, of course, the generation wandered in the wilderness. The younger generation and Joshua and Caleb remained alive to enter into Canaan. And they were faced there with the brevity of life and the certainty of death in that wilderness. As they saw, as the Bible says, you know, the carcasses that fell in the wilderness. One thing we've got to, first of all, understand is that God is eternal, and we find that in verse 1 and 2. Could I get somebody to read verses 1 and 2 there? So again, yeah, Moses starts out this psalm here with proclaiming the fact that God is eternal, and he mentions that his forefathers and all of those people that were already in the history books in Moses' day, God had been their refuge, and God had been there for them, and God had protected them. God had done this for them and that for them, and now he's building this case that God is eternal. And God has always been, and God always will be, bigger than our problems. He will be with us throughout life and throughout all of the struggles of life. And this is, you know, when we think about the eternality of God, this is biblical basic theology. It's theology 101. I mean, God is eternal, unless you're a Mormon. And they've got some pretty crazy doctrine. But anyways, God is eternal, which means he didn't have a beginning or he did not have an ending. And people say, well, how is that possible? Well, you know, to ask me that question, you know, how is God eternal? You're asking a question that really can't be understood or answered. All I know is God is outside of time. God doesn't exist inside of time. Time is part of the created world. And when there's no time, all you have is eternity and existence. So God is eternal. God always has been, always will be. He will never end. He will exist for all of eternity. And again, the idea here in verse 1 is that he spans all generations. You know, back 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, he was there. And it wasn't one day God decided to exist and then he started to intervene in the lives of people. God, from the very beginning and beyond the beginning, was there and always has been. And notice here he begins his prayer by addressing God as Lord. And again, this is Elohim, and this identifies God as the creator. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heaven and the earth. And Israel, for many years, they were nomadic, which means they didn't have a home. They roamed around and they moved from place to place, and they didn't have a permanent land upon the earth. And the nation of Israel, again, if we look at the history of Abraham right up to Kadesh Barnea, they were nomads. But Elohim, the God of creation, He had been their dwelling place. That's what Moses is talking about there in verse 1. Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Well, we've lived here and we've lived there. We've moved to this place and we've gone to this place. But God, you have always been our dwelling place. You have been our world, our land, our existence. And so God has always been with them no matter where they moved. They didn't leave him behind. They took him with him. And, you know, when we think about that, it's an interesting type because today believers, we are nomads on this land. You know, you may have lived in the same house for 65 years, but we are just pilgrims. We are nomads passing through this world. And God is our dwelling place, our existence, and our citizenship is in heaven. And when we look at verse, can I get somebody to read verse 9 of Hebrews chapter 11? Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11. Yeah, I'm sorry, Tim. That was my dyslexic moment for the day. 11:9. Okay, so according to that verse, what word would you use to describe Abraham's life in the land of promise? What word would you describe? Sojourner. Okay, faithful. What else? Any other names, words, titles that came to your mind? Make up your own word, one word. Pilgrim. He was a pilgrim. Yeah, absolutely. So foreigner, stranger, nomad. Pilgrim, he was faithful, and these were the things that Abraham was. And what final destination did Abraham anticipate? Heaven, right? A heavenly city, a heavenly home, the New Jerusalem. And turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2. And let's have a look at verse 11 there. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. The Bible says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." So there, again, Peter is addressing these believers as strangers. Again, that's the idea of a foreigner, right? Have you ever thought of yourself in Canada as a foreigner? Sometimes we're starting to feel that way. But we are foreigners. We are foreigners. And our citizenship is in heaven. The Bible calls us there, again, pilgrims. We're on a journey through this world, and we're just passing by. We're passing through. And then again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul there uses a metaphor for the believer's body, and he used the metaphor of a tabernacle. Now, what is a tabernacle as opposed to, well, what is the significance of the tabernacle as opposed to the temple? It was portable. It was temporary, right? It could be picked up and moved. It wasn't something that had its feet rooted, if you will. And that's the idea of our bodies. Our bodies are only a temporary place where our spirit and our soul dwell. And that the idea there, again, is that we're just here for a little bit of time in a temporary body. And one day we're going to move into a permanent body. And I praise the Lord for that. So it's important for us to understand those things. Secondly, or letter B here, he existed before creation, and we see that in verse 2 again of chapter 90. And the Bible talks about there that he existed before creation. And he talks about the mountains that were brought forth. He talks about the fact that he existed before the earth and the world were formed. Moses knew that human life is brief and temporary, fleeting. Now, he uses the mountains there as a picture because mountains are considered a symbol of strength and power, like moving a mountain, having faith, even as a grain of mustard seed, to move a mountain. There's nothing in this world that's harder to move than a mountain. Now, how many people have you ever known to move a mountain? You need an awful lot of equipment and a lot of money and a lot of diesel fuel and time and people and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're permanent. They're not going anywhere. And so that's the idea there, because the mountains are that symbol of strength and endurance. You know, there's a lot of things that are destroyed by storms and tsunamis and hurricanes and tornadoes. But you know what? The biggest storms in the world, they go through, and people are wondering how, or forest fires, whatever it may be, I wonder what's still there. The trees, are they gone? The houses, are they destroyed? What's going to be? But mountains are going to be there. They're going to be there. The weather, they're not going to affect the mountains too much. So, again, here, talking about that symbol of strength. God is eternal, existed before creation. Number two here, he goes on now to say that human life is temporary. And back to our text there, Psalms chapter 90. We have got to understand this. And again, he talks about how temporary we truly are. Verses 3 to 11. And let's have a look, first of all, at the fact that death is inevitable. Read verses 3 to 6. The Bible says, Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight is but yesterday, and it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and in the evening it is cut down and withereth. So again here, the temporary idea of man. We're only here for a little bit of time. Because human beings are sinful, we are living temporary lives. Our lives will be terminated. Death is inevitable. It is appointed unto man once to die. We are all going to die. Nothing we can do about it. And these things are important for us to understand. God's existence contrasts with our existence. And part of what Moses is doing here is he's developing that contrast. God is not only eternal, not only did he exist before the earth, the mountains, all things, he existed before them, but man, on the other hand, we're just this little speck of existence within, you know, the span of eternity. We're only a little, you know, you take a 1,000-mile ruler, I mean, and we're a millimeter on that ruler, that would be an understatement. We're just nothing. We're a speck in existence. And so he uses a lot of different things here. God's existence is contrasted to our existence. Our days are as brief as yesterday was, the Bible says, as a watch in the night. Again, he talks about his judgment on sin is like a flood sweeping everything away in its path. And meanwhile, human life resembles a sleep with judgment rising in the morning. Now, I'm going to ask a question. This is a really, really, really deep question. How many people think time goes faster when you're sleeping? Everyone, come on. It feels like it. It isn't. No. I remember watching the Brady Bunch. I'm sorry, I got to confess that to you. And I remember one of the girls woke up in the morning and asked her sister, "How come time goes so much faster when you're sleeping?" And the other sister said, "Well, because you got school in the morning. That's why." Why can't school go as fast as our sleep? And so that's why he's using this metaphor. We're not the only ones that, because, you know, sleep just seems to go so fast. You close your eyes, go to sleep, before you know it, 8 hours is gone. Or 10 hours, or 12 hours, or 14 hours, or 4 hours, or 5 hours, whatever it may be. Time goes so fast when we sleep. And so that's why he says here, our life is like a sleep. And when we wake up, judgment's coming. And unfortunately, some people won't wake up until the judgment is here. And then he talks about the 1,000 years again. And by the way, when the Bible says, you know, that God, to God, a year, you know, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day, that doesn't mean anytime the Bible talks about a day, it means 1,000 years. How many people already figured that out? There's some people out there that can't figure that out. What that is trying to say is that time is nothing to God. To us, 1,000 years is a long time. That's a long, long, long time. But God, I mean, 1,000,000 years, 10,000,000 years. I mean, what is that to God? What is that to eternity? And it is nothing. So that's the idea there again. And then he talks about grass, the grass growing up in the morning, and then it's cut down in the evening. It's just temporary, and all the things in life that are temporary. When we think about all of the different things in life that are temporary, things only last for such a very short time. There are so many different things in life we could describe as being just it's wonderful, but it's over so quick, you know. And you just, man, what happened? Where'd it go? We went to the fireworks one time in Tillsonburg, and we walked in there and brought the kids in and set up our lawn chairs and sat down, and we just got comfortable and the fireworks were over. No, we weren't late. There was literally, and I'm not exaggerating, there were 4 fireworks. And everybody was pretty upset. We were complaining. Everyone was complaining. It was in the newspaper the next day. What was that all about? You know? And it was like, it was over. And then, you know, sometimes you think about things and you put so much time and effort into them and they're over like that. They're just gone. And life is like that. Life is fleeting. And when we think about this, life is short. Use it wisely. And understanding the brevity of life, what are some things in life that show us that life is short or brief? What are some things that take place, that happen in life? What's that? Our aging process. Just when we start getting older, just that age shows us that. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. What else? What are some other things that show us life is just temporary? Yes. Death of a child. Yeah, it's like, what? You know, I was saying to somebody the other day, you know, some of my friends are starting to die. I think they're dying young. Some of these guys that I grew up with, some of my best friends are dying. And I'm thinking, this is crazy. That shouldn't be happening yet. I remember my parents' friends were dying. And that was, like, strange enough, you know, that they were dying. What else? What are some other things in life that are just maybe little reminders that life is short? Yeah, yeah, quickly. You get a garden in and it's all over. Okay, let's look at a few here, and those are all good. Life-threatening illnesses. You know, when we're sick and, you know, our life could be over. You know, suddenly we realize, I might not be here tomorrow. How about sudden death? And it was mentioned of a loved one or a child. And again, here's another one. I mentioned this with the grandkids and watching children grow up. It's like they're in diapers one day, and then the next day, you're in diapers. And it's like they go from, what was that? Too much information. Don't think too much about it, okay? Let's get on to another subject where Keith has a spell here. One day they're in diapers, and then the next day they're asking you for the car keys, Keith. They're asking you for the car keys. And don't worry, little Ava, it won't be long. She's going to be asking for the car keys. And then we're going to... Life begins, right? And they're gone. And I just think, man, all these old people that are empty nesters. You think, man, three of my kids, somebody was asking yesterday, how many kids you got at home? I said, we only got one. He's not even a kid anymore. Well, yeah, we won't go there. He takes after his dad. Life is so quick. Watching children grow up certainly reminds us that life is quick. Near-death experiences where we've come close to death. Rapid growth in technology. Again, how fast things seem to be advancing today. It's just crazy. How fast things advance. We always laugh. You know, we watch these old shows like Andy Griffith and look at the technology, you know, and think, man, it's unbelievable. We were going up to the thing the other day, again, even about horsepower in cars, you know. And I had a 1972 Dodge Dart Slant 6, had 86 horsepower. And then my father-in-law bought a Bonneville SS. I think it was in 1987. And it was a muscle car. It had a six-cylinder. It had 170 horsepower. And now we got these little sewing machine engines, you know, four-cylinder engines that have 300 horsepower. And technology is going so quickly. So there's so many things out there that show us how brief life really is. So we have death is inevitable, and then letter B, sin is the cause of death, and of course we know that. Sin is the reason why we die. It's the reason why we age. Sin is the problem. Sin has always been the problem. And we've got to remember that. And number three here, Roman numeral number three, we've got to be wise stewards of the time that God has given to us, or wise stewardship of time is appropriate considering the brevity of life and the quickness of life. We've got to wisely invest the days. And if you think of days as money, and you think of days as something that we're actually investing in. When you take, an item for a boat, or you can say a snowmobile, or any item in life, something in life, you can maybe your car, and you think, you know what, I've got that thing and I never use it. How many people have I never use it? Everyone's got it, I never use it, right? And we wonder, why do I have it? We're not. Investing our time with it. And so a lot of people, well, if I'm not using it, I'm going to sell it, get rid of it, don't need it. But life is the same way, because these days that we have, are we using them? And what are we doing with them? How are we investing them? Did we get a good return? Did we get a good return out of yesterday? And the day before, there are days, and again, I mentioned before, you know, having one of those days where it's just like a day where we just like, you know what, I am just going to veg around all day. So we kind of recharge our batteries or whatever it may be. But there's days I've had and I said, man, you know what? I accomplished nothing. You know, I that's okay. You know, one day like that in a few hundred, you know, isn't so bad. But just what did we do yesterday? How was our investment? Did we have a good return? You know, are we farther ahead today? I like the days when I've, at the end of the day, finished all that I set out to accomplish. And how many of those days do we actually have? You know, I sometimes write out what I want to do in the day or what I want to accomplish in a week. Okay, I want to get this done, this done, this done. And you know, and it's really good to do that, by the way. Because if it's just in our mind, make your own little honey-do list. But if it's only in your mind, oh, I got to do it, you know, it's always back in your mind and it never gets done. And again, when we think about these days, we've got to look at them in the right way. No one has more or less than 24 hours in a day. Just like sleep is the same, that's, you know, the how profound it is. Sleep is the same amount of time as the day, but it goes so quickly. And you got to remind yourself it was the same amount of time as what a day is, but nobody has more than 24 hours. Some days seem longer than others. Some days seem we've accomplished less, but we've got to really realize what our days are and invest them wisely. So when we think about communicating the brevity of life, and again, we'll just kind of go through some of these quickly. And again, having the older believers testify of the brevity of life, I think we've talked about a lot of them, right? You think when you get to a certain age, you look back and you think how quick everything's gone. We can talk about so many different things when you look back. You know, grandkids, and, you know, look at pictures. That funny guy with hair, you know, or whatever it may be. And some of the old cars we used to drive. And there are so many different things we can look at. And again, encouraging young believers to set spiritual goals as well. We don't have time to do everything over again. And we can't turn the clock back and say, you know what, maybe I should have done that when I was younger. Maybe I should have, you know, went to Bible college or should have did this or did that or did something or even went to school to learn something or whatever it may be. Because when you get older, it's pretty hard to do it. Sometimes you've only got that chance when you're younger, when you know you're either late teen or whatever it may be, and those things can only be done then. But spiritually, setting those spiritual goals as well as a young person, and realize you know you've only got that one opportunity to serve the Lord. Do it now. And again, having older believers share their regrets and accomplishments. And we could probably all say we have regrets, right? I wasn't saved until I was 31 years old. And I remember thinking, not so much anymore, but for the first few years, thinking, man, I wasted my life. I wish I was saved as a child. I wish I was saved, you know, when I was a teenager and or a young person and could have served the Lord and could have went to Bible college and, you know, as a teenager or done this or done that. And you know, I was thinking of all the wasted years that I could have learned and grown and done so many more things. So we've got to count our days. And the Bible, we'll talk about this in a bit, the Bible talks about our days as, you know, 70 or 80 years. And we haven't got a lot of days. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1 there, you know, what cautionary notes does this verse tell us? And what evidence of life's uncertainty have we seen recently? And we could probably all talk about deaths and different things like that. James chapter 1 and verse 1 talks about life as being, and we mentioned this, a vapor. And we've got to wisely, again, let her be here, wisely invoke God's mercy in our life as well. We don't have chances to go back in time. We don't have chances to do it over again. And we need to invoke God's wisdom in life. We need to seek God's wisdom in spending our days wisely. And let her see here, wisely seeking God's approval. We find that in verses 16 and 17. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. You know, as we remember past days or years, what do we regret? What do we regret? What are we thankful for? And how can we use maybe the days that we've wasted in the past, where we've just been indifferent to the things of God and indifferent to serving God and living for God and loving God? And how can we take those things and apply them to the days that we have in the future? If the Bible is true and we have 70 or 80 years to live, we say 80 because we are living longer because of good health and diet and everything else. How many do you have left? How many do you have left? I know for me, when I turned 40, it was the hardest birthday I've ever had. I went into deep, dark depression because it's midlife. It's all downhill. And everything's down. Everything, when you hit 40 goes down. You know, your chest falls into your drawers and, you know, everything else. I mean, gravity isn't your friend anymore. How many do you have left? And how many have you spent? You know, 50, I'm going to be 55 this year. I got $25 left. I got 25 left. And you know, my investment, you know, we've only got so many to spend. What have you done with the ones that you've already had? And what are you going to do with the ones that you have left? Ah, you know what? I got 60 left. I got 70 left. I got 45 left. I got tons left. I'm not too worried. You know, it's easy when you got $1 million to throw money around, but when you only got a bit, then you're starting to, you know, be a little more careful with what you're spending. But you know what? 80 years isn't a lot. It's not a lot. It's not a million. And we got to be careful with every single one of them. And so let's live for the Lord. Let's take the time, the opportunities to serve Him while we have them. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this time together, and we thank You for Your abundant grace and mercy to us. And may we, as our verse this morning said, may we number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Lord, we need to live wisely in this small little window of life that we have. So, Father, bless for Your glory. We thank You and we praise You in Jesus' name. And amen.